Infusion Brewery, and we'll get more about those guys in a little bit. But right now, we want to kick it off and get into a heavy duty discussion about Providence Friars in this huge game tomorrow night. Joining us, there's no other person we want to talk to before the big game tomorrow. Kevin McNamara, Kevin Mac Sports. Mr. McNamara, how are you?
Doing good, Tim. I'm just wrapping things up here at WPRO in Providence. And, tomorrow I can't wait to hand off after my show to John Rook and Joe Hassett for that game. That's I think it's the number one game left on Providence's schedule, a home schedule for sure.
Yeah, I was gonna kick it off with just a big picture here. Tomorrow night, two different things, and I want to get your opinion on this. One, Creighton victory, and Creighton is clearly in the driver's seat for the Big East title. Mm-hmm. Not there yet, but at least in a really good position. Number two, a Providence loss, and their hopes of a title are pretty much gone.
No question about it. And, you know, I think if you would ask Ed Cooley, you know, how important is the Big East regular season championship? It's really important. You know, they won it last year. It wasn't a full schedule. So, you know, I, UConn fans might like to remind PC fans about that, that they didn't play twice.
So do Creighton fans.
So do Creighton fans. That's
right. Game in Omaha, you know.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. We had a little COVID action. But, you know, and that's almost a bad argument. I mean, those things go hand in hand. If you keep winning games, you improve your NCAA seed, which I do think is most important. These two teams are going to the NCAA tournament. Providence barring a complete collapse. Creighton, I think, well, I want to talk about Creighton and their seeding and your seeding in just a bit about them. But more importantly, Providence doesn't want to go on a losing streak. You know, they just lost at St. John's. It was their worst offensive game of the season. And now they play the best defensive team by metrics, defensive team in the Big East. So major challenge for the Friars. I see that they're two and a half point underdogs. This is a team that's undefeated at home and is they're 34-1 at home in their last 35 games. So that just says an awful lot about Creighton.
Yeah, Kevin, can you explain, you know, you've been following Providence for a long time. Can you explain the differences between why they are so good at home and, you know, they're a fine team on the road, but they seem to struggle a bit more on the road than maybe some more elite teams would, but they're really good at home. Could you just kind of explain why you think those differences are so vast?
Yeah, you know, Ross, they've actually played well on the road this year. If you throw out the St. John's game, they took the Xavier to overtime, down to the last shot. They started off winning their first three road games, so they've been good on the last 2 years, home and road, because they've been good. These are really good teams the last, and more than anything else. That said, the fans at Providence, the student section of Providence has raised its game dramatically. I've been doing this for over 30 years, and it's not even close these last 2 years, especially last year. But wow. So, and I think the reason is the pandemic. There were no home games. I think you guys played some home games that year. I don't know if fans were allowed, students were allowed, but Providence, there was no home games whatsoever. So that entire freshman class had never seen a game. And then you have the incoming freshman last year who had never seen a game. So the demand for tickets was off the charts last year. And lo and behold, they also had a great team. So the combination made it. They don't have enough student tickets for the student body. Providence is the smallest school in the Big East. They have about 4,000 students, and at least 2,000 want to be at the games. 50% of the student body. It's probably the highest percentage of any college basketball school in the country. So that's their dynamic, and they'll be completely sold out tomorrow night. The ticket on Saturday against Villanova, I'm told, is one of the toughest in the last 5 years. So they're doing a great job on that end, and you know, we'll see if the team can back it up.
Wow. So we got two teams with improving student sections. Creighton student section has been off the charts this year too. So yeah, that's great. Yeah. Even Hurley even mentioned it, of all people. Hurley even gave him a compliment. Of course, he got into it with him a little bit, but hey, so be it.
That's not the first student section that Dan Hurley has said goodbye to on the way out.
Nor the last.
That's right.
Yeah, I'd like to let's flip back here before you get to talking a little bit about it. Flip back to that first game. You know, I described Saturday as a big time Big East rock fight with Creighton and UConn, and that's what it was. It was just a defensive battle, and these games so often between Creighton and Providence turn into defensive battles. And that first one, you know, Creighton kind of had things in control, and then Providence made a great run in the second half, but neither team, Providence was 4-19 for three, Creighton was 3-16. So it came down to defense, and it certainly came – the reason Providence hung around was they out-rebounded Creighton by 15.
Providence has been a very good bounding team all season, like very good, especially offensive rebounding. And they absolutely killed St. John's off the glass on Saturday. And yet Jared Bynum missed three or four games with a bad ankle injury. He's back now. He's not right. He's not 100%. He was 2 for 11 from the field at St. John's. I think that Creighton is a very bad personnel matchup for Providence for one reason, Kalkbrenner. So Ed Croswell he's one of my favorite Providence players in the last 10 years because he's super, super tough. He's not going to back down from Moses Malone. Forget about Ryan Kalkbrenner. It's just not going to happen. That said, he's 6'8 on a good day. So Kalkbrenner has him by 4 or 5 inches. He's a very good defensive player, obviously a very good shot blocker. Croswell does all of his work within 2 feet. So if he's nullified, neutralized a little bit like he was in that first game, I think he only had 10 points in that game. That really takes, you know, the wind out of Providence's sails because they're an excellent second chance rebounding team. So that's A. And B, I do think that they have the size at the backcourt. I tell you, I really like the way Trey Alexander is playing right now, not only offensively, but defensively. They're going to give a smaller guard like Jared Bynum some trouble with their size. So I just think the size and length of Creighton's defense really, really could nullify two very important players in Croswell and Jared Bynum.
Kevin, what has Ed Cooley said this year about his guys on the offensive end of the floor, and what have you seen compared to last year? I mean, to the untrained eye, from an outsider's perspective, it seems like there's a little bit more versatility offensively, especially because of Bryce Hopkins.
Yeah, no, this is a better offensive team. The metrics say that, and the eye tells you that too. First of all, because of Hopkins, he's the type of a guy, player who guys, when he doesn't play well, he's still getting almost 20 points. If he plays very well, he can crack 30. Now, I do think that he's a matchup issue for Creighton. My guess is Kaluma will see an awful lot of time on him. Bryce is very physical off the bounce. He wants to get into his opponents and get to the free throw line. And Providence, I think they shot 15 free throws in that first game against Creighton. Yeah. And Creighton got to the line 23 times. Providence isn't going to beat many good teams without winning the free throw battle. Now, I would assume at home they will. Creighton does a very good job of defending without fouling. That's vitally important tomorrow. And Hopkins, when he's going, is getting 10 free throws a game, 10 chances a game. So that's A. B, Noah Locke, especially at home, is a very good outside shooter. He's a significant upgrade over like A.J. Reeves from last year. Kind of play the same offensive department. And Devin Carter, if you guys haven't seen him a lot, he's
tremendous.
He's tremendous.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy who, you know, we've all played pickup or high school basketball for that. Actually, pickup is better. Or street ball, YMCA. He's the guy you don't want to be guarding you because – he's going to run faster than you. He's going to be, you know, on beans, you know, super, super hyped to play. And you just don't want him on the other team. And, you know, so he'll score his, you know, 10, 15 points with nothing being run for him. You know, offensive rebounds, loose balls, stick backs, you know, those type of plays. And those garbage points, and that's nothing to denigrate Carter because I think he has a chance to play at a very high level. But he accumulates garbage points, and that just helps an offense.
Yeah, a couple things there you said about the fouls. Even Dan Hurley commented because UConn drew like 6 fouls. I think it was against Creighton in the first half. He goes, man, I think that's probably the most they've had all year, which is probably true. Mm-hmm. We still dominated from the line a big time in the second half. But, yeah, Carter's such a
but
such
Tim,
a
but Tim, to interrupt, that's Connecticut's fault. Connecticut fouls more than anyone else in the
Oh,
league.
no doubt. No
Yeah,
doubt. No
and
doubt.
that's the way I've seen Dan Hurley's teams now for 10 years. He was at Rhode Island before he went to Connecticut. They guard that way. They guard like Georgetown used to guard back in the 80s. You're not supposed to take two dribbles without pressure. And so you're going to draw, you're going to commit fouls. And, you know, again, that's their style of play more than the referees.
Yeah. No, no doubt. No doubt. And the opposite is true too with Creighton not fouling. I mean, they work on that so hard in practice, going straight up and so forth. I mean, they really make an emphasis of it. But you mentioned about some of the keys to the game with Providence players, and knowing Greg McDermott, and it's not like he you know, this isn't the message he gives to the team, but this is the way it usually plays out. He usually has one player on the opposing team that he's okay letting that guy go. But he's going to shut down one or two of the, you know, other players. Now, who that's going to be, I don't know. If he's going to pick Carter, if he's going to maybe say, hey, Noah Locke's not going to hit a three against us, you know, or hey, we're going to double Bryce Hopkins. I don't know which way he will go with it. I'm guessing he will kind of go one-on-one with Bryce, let's see what happens there, and just don't let everybody else beat you.
Yeah, if I'm Greg McDermott, I throw Kaluma at Bryce Hopkins, see what happens. But I don't let Jarrett Bynum get going, and I would almost put Alexander on Jarrett just to give him that extra size. And Nembhard is a very good defender as well, but just maybe alternate the two of them just to give Bynum some different looks. Noah Locke is a catch and shoot guy. Yeah, it's simple as that. You can play anybody on Noah Locke. You just have to shade the 3-point line. You can't really stop Devin Carter. They don't really run anything for him. You just want to play, you know, aggressively with him, try to match his athleticism, his aggression. I don't really know if Creighton has anyone like that. Like Shireman is my favorite player on Creighton by far. I don't know who he guards in this game. It almost doesn't matter because he's such a weapon on the offensive end. And the last thing that, you know, Creighton would want to do is have Shireman deal with Devin Carter, because Devin Carter will pick up fouls on Shireman. He's too quick, you know, too explosive for someone like Shireman. So it'll be interesting to see how Creighton play. I did want to ask you guys once, and I know that Tim, you're the bracket guru. I'm sure you guys talk about this all the time. Creighton, today, in 2 weeks, and when the committee gets in the room in March, is going to be the most important decision in the bracket. Because if you look at these goofy metrics and numbers and whatnot, they're a 6 seed, maybe a 5 seed. It's a joke. I vote in the top 25. I voted them myself, and I think actually Seth Davis. We've consistently voted Creighton higher than anybody else. The coaches. Now I know the coaches don't usually vote. It's usually their SIDs or their best friends who vote because they don't watch any games. They just worry about their next opponent. For the coaches to not have Creighton in the poll last week and to have him at 19 this week, they're not watching the games. Creighton is the best team in the Big East right now. And I wouldn't say it's not close because Marquette's very good, but they're the best team in the Big East today. And if you're the best team in the Big East, you're a top, certainly top 2 seed, definitely top 3 seed. Do you see an avenue where Creighton can be a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I think right now the reason, like for instance, like 2 weeks ago, I had him at a 9. You know, the number one 9, okay. But to me, they just had, when you look at that record of 15-8, they just had an accumulation of a lot of losses. I get that someone were with Kalkbrenner, but you got to look at the NCAA committee. People think they take that, and they really don't take it into consideration that much, okay. So I was kind of waiting for Creighton to said, okay, let's see what they do this week. Because the thing missing on their resume was some high quality wins. Well, boom, they get two in 1 week right there. So now you tack on, if you could tack on a Providence, yeah, you just keep adding them up and stacking them up and moving up the ladder. But I do think, yeah, it's all going to come down to a lot of, you know, how do they finish? How do they run this out? They can beat Marquette. That's another very high quality win. And then how, Big East tournament, you're going to be playing, you know, tons of games. That's why I think UConn, you can't fool around here. Are they going to be playing Wednesday night?
No question. I think UConn will shake out and everything will be fine with them, but it'll be pretty funny when you see a, you know, a Villanova playing Wednesday night, you know, which
Yeah,
is probably, you know, going to happen. But
that's as weird as it gets.
Yeah, it really is. In 1 year, things just kind of going upside down. That said, look at their lineup. That they, I know that they've lost a lot of games, but I don't really want to play against Dixon and Cam Whitmore and Brandon Slater in
I
March.
agree.
I mean, they've had a lot of experience. Those guys have played in the national championship game, right? I mean, I'm sorry, in the Final Four, like legit, minutes on elite teams. But I'll make a prediction. Creighton will end up with, I think they have 8 losses right now. So they'll end the season with, say, 10 losses and, will be a sixth seed. It's ridiculous. Again, take the Kalkbrenner law, injury games away. This is a team that is, there's no way that not among one of the top 12 teams in the country. I just don't see it, but we'll see.
Yeah, they have 10 losses. I'd put them like at 22, 23, 10. I think they'd have enough accumulation of big, of high Q1 and Q2 wins at that point that they might be better than that. But, then.
And be like 13-2 in their last 15, or 13, well,
Oh,
13 and three.
absolutely. Yeah.
I mean,
Fortunately, the committee doesn't do anything with that anymore. But yeah. What do you think, Providence, to wrap this up, where do you think they're at right now if you look over the whole course of the season?
Providence is in a they're in a tough part of their schedule. People forget that with this balanced Big East schedule, it's the only way to play. You look at some of these other leagues around the country, like I think it was Texas A&M. They're in second place in the SEC. Look at their schedule.
They
They
played nobody.
nobody. And yet, good for them. They're in second place. They're on the outside looking in some NCAA, brackets. It's crazy. Where the Big East, it only depends on when you played on the road and when you played home. And Providence ends with a tough stretch. They just went to St. John's, lost. They played Creighton at home, really tough game. They played Villanova at home. Okay, it's a game you have to win. They go to Connecticut. They still have Xavier at home. They still have Seton Hall at home. That's a difficult, so the schedule lines up okay with some home games, and yet, they still have to go to Connecticut, which is, very difficult game. So how the Big East schedule balances out, how you finish in your last couple, is going to be very important to some teams. So Providence, again, tough game tomorrow night. Tough game next week at UConn. If they lose both of those two, they have no more chance. They have three quad one chances left. They only have three quad one wins as we speak. It'd be good if for them and their seeding to be able to get two out of those three. Again, Creighton at home, Xavier at home, and at Connecticut. Certainly can lose all three. I don't know if they can win all three.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what Ross and I have been talking all season, we were like, and this was back when UConn was, had one loss. We said there's top five teams in this league. It's probably going to come down to how many, if any at all, you lose to that bottom six. And
Yeah.
so, and but went a long time with Creighton, Marquette, and Providence being the three that had lost. And now Providence gives up one over the weekend. We'll see how this rolls out as the, because I think there are some
Well,
dangerous teams
so did
down.
Xavier.
And
Yeah.
Xavier and Butler. And I had thought that the breaking point in the Big East was going to be which team can win on the road against one of those top five. And I believe it's still zero. Is that correct?
Right. I think so. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
So
Creighton with
Creighton
a great
only has
opportunity tomorrow night.
this is Creighton's last road game against those top teams. They have Marquette at home, and that's it. So
I see. Yep.
let's see what happens.
That's it. Providence just has that Connecticut left. So it's hard to
Yeah.
win on the road in this league. Very hard.
Sure is. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome, guys.
Enjoy
I'll
the game.
see you in New York. It's going to be fun.
All right, man. Thanks, man.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Kevin.
Kevin McMurray, Kevin Mack Sports. Always great joining us here on Blue Jay Banner. Ross, we haven't got your kind of take on Saturday.
Yeah, it was an awesome game. I mean, God, I thought the crowd was fantastic. And you know me, Tim, I can be critical of the crowd.
Yep.
So
So can I.
I really think the past, quite honestly, the past three home games have been the crowd's been fantastic. It helps that they're on Saturdays, obviously, and they're, relatively big games. But yeah, I just thought the energy in there was incredible. UConn's, God, they play really physical, man. I mean, God, they remind you of kind of you know, that Iowa State defense, and they just kind of like Kevin said, I mean, they're just, they bump you. They don't let you, they ain't giving you straight line drives to the basket. That's for sure. And, yeah. You know, Sanogo is a really difficult matchup for Kalk. I mean, he just can't, he can't really move Sanogo on the block. I mean, I know that
no.
the crowd wanted fouls sometimes on Sanogo, but, like, you know, he just, he's got a hard time moving him. But I, you know, it's really encouraging to see the team win games without making jump shots consistently. I mean, and that's, you know, I'm just, Trey Alexander is, at, you know, at the end of the game, he's the guy you want, who's, you know, who you want the ball in his hands at the end of the game is Trey. Trey's going to go get you a bucket. His game, he's just got such a good game offensively. He's long enough. He's athletic enough that he can create his own shot. I just think that he's such a nice perk to have in that regard. You know, obviously in addition to all the other great things he brings, but man, I love knowing that we've got him if the going gets rough, you know.
So encouraged over the last couple of games, getting into the game, obviously because Trey's getting in foul trouble, but the play of Reef coming in, and you know, you just,
yep.
you can't forget. Here's a guy who played in the Sweet 16 before, so this isn't going to phase him, right?
Totally.
And his defense, like Mac mentioned after the game, that Hawkins really wanted no part of Reef because Reef could go right through those screens. He could go right over the top of those screens and just on glue on Hawkins.
Yeah, and I didn't, you know, it's interesting. I've watched UConn a decent amount. You know, obviously I'm not watching every single game and not watching super in depth every single game. But gosh, they run Hawkins off a lot of screens.
They do.
I mean, they run some pretty good actions for him, quite honestly. I mean, I think what hurts them, I mean, despite how athletic he is, and he is a good defender, and he's long, and he, you know, again, he jumps out of the gym. If you've seen him before, but Andre Jackson, I mean, his inability to shoot hurts them. It really does. And
big time.
I mean, God, we just sat in the paint. I mean, it was almost like laughable how far off we were playing against him. I mean, and it disrupted them a little bit. I don't know what it is about them. They have the makeup that, like, there was a lot of times on Saturday where I, you know, I sat with Matt Dorwart and I was like, man, I really like UConn, but then there's other times where it just seems like there's something missing with them. You know what I mean?
It's just good. Their guards that bring up the bench are terrific.
Yeah, I just – like, you look at that record, and I'm like, man, how did –
They're big? Their back
yeah.
big is good?
I mean, it's bizarre. It's a weird deal. I really do think it's – maybe it is, like, Jackson hurts them offensively. He really does.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. And their guards that are coming off the bench now are getting so good that Calcaterra's not hardly getting any minutes anymore.
He played like 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is I don't think they give Caravan enough shots. Like, I
agree.
He's a good shooter. I'd get him some more shots.
Well, and
they're running, like you said, they're running Hawkins off those screens on every, like, that's where I think if you looked at the game, and I kind of noticed, I said to somebody during the game, that's where Matt kind of out-coaches Hurley. Like, Hurley just runs the same play. You know, there's no variation or something new wrinkle you're going to throw. It just seems like he runs the same offense, and then he just ran Caravan off screen. Boom, he hit one. Oh, well, I'm going to run him off the screen again. Well, now he's not hitting the shot. And it kind of just, you know.
Well, I thought the play he ran for Caravan at the end there, they were down 6, and he buried that 3 at the top of the key. I thought that was a nice set, but you know, to your point, yeah, they should probably do maybe a little bit more of that for him. I think, you know, the difference is Mac doesn't run near as many set plays as he used to. He kind of, you know, he kind of drills into them, and the team works, you know, all off season about kind of, you know, there's these concepts within your offense, and you kind of just go out and play. And we do so much with dribble handoffs and, you know, kind of the get action where the big pops to the top of the key and he looks for cutters or more handoffs or dribble handoffs. And so we kind of more read and react anymore. And you're right. I thought UConn, they run some of these sets, and it's hard. It's hard for them. They clog the paint. I mean, their spacing just isn't great with Jackson out on the floor. It's just not. And, you know, Sanogo, you know, you want to play off Sanogo a little bit too. I mean, and so you add the both of them. Now, Sanogo has shown he's capable of making threes. He made, you know, 3 in the first half against us. But I think if you're going to let Adama Sanogo shoot threes for most of the game, I'm not so sure he's going to make 3 most games.
Yeah, Saturday though, it seemed like Hurley said after the game, he goes, I'm really disappointed he didn't take some more shots. He was doing that pump fake. I think he could have. And he goes, if he would have taken one or two more, that would have brought Cockburn out a little bit more, would have opened some things up for us, you know?
I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, I do say that. I don't know if Sanogo's, gonna make multiple threes a game, but the more you look at it, I mean, the guy's 16 of 40 on the year for three. I mean, he's
Yeah.
shooting 40% at his size, and not
Take
it's not like
that.
he's got a great looking jumper. I mean, maybe he should start to shoot those a little bit more. I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't
Yeah.
disagree. Maybe he should have been a little bit more aggressive.
Hey, you're watching Blue Jay Banner. We want to thank our sponsor, Equitable Bank. We take banking personally. The Bank of Blue Jay Banner been serving Nebraska since 1882. Two great locations over in Elkhorn and one just north of the TD Ameritrade headquarters. Give them a chance, listen to their great checking features and everything else that they can do. Check them out for a house loan. Anything you want, check out Equitable Bank. We take banking personally. Also, West Pacific Dental Group and Dr. Robert Hogan. They do a fantastic job. Their staff is so nice and friendly. Dr. Hogan looks out for all your needs and really has a discussion with you about your dental care and what is best for you. So check them out again, 402-697-0765 and Infusion Brewery. And the great folks over there can't wait till they get that keg of malted milk ball beer.
Wow.
Gotta check that out when they pop that baby open. So check out all the great products like we mentioned last week. You can go to Crescent Moon and get all their fine products. So check out Infusion Brewery as well.
Tim, another thing really quick to wrap a
Yeah.
bow on the UConn game. Tristan Newton gave them nothing, which was really interesting. He had 6 games in a row in double figures. He had 13 in the game against them at their place in early January, and only looks like 23 minutes he played in that game. So he was a non-factor. I mean, I didn't, and I kind of like some of the things that he does, and he didn't give them anything on Saturday. 2 points on, he only took one three. He was one of three from two. I mean, so you go 1 of 4 from the field. I mean, a guy like that's got to be probably a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. God, it just seemed like Yara and Aline did a bigger number on us than they did, but they were only 2 for 8. But it sure seemed like they made more shots than that. It seemed like they were so active in so many different areas. But I think Nembhard really found something when he guarded Boom.
Yeah,
I think he
yeah.
really. That really turned a switch on for him defensively, and he locked up Newton. And then for a while, he was guarding Hawkins. So
Yeah.
on Saturday, so
Ryan's an
I think
athletic kid.
that's just another, cog in our defensive wheel that we can go to.
100%. He's
What about
a quick kid. He's a quick kid.
yeah, he
We
is.
talked about the differences between him and Marcus Zagorowski. He's just athletically, he just does more, he just can provide more from an athletic standpoint. And so I think, yeah, guarding, quick guards on the ball, he's got that ability, which is nice.
People are worried about him, but he looks as fresh in the 39th minute than he does in the first minute. He just
Yeah,
does.
I
He
agree.
just got a big motor. So okay, so tomorrow night, as Kevin mentioned, wow, I didn't realize they'd run that string together at home. 34 of the last 35. That's pretty damn impressive. Wow. Because I've seen him have some tight games there at Providence too.
I told you, I've said this like two or three times now. I watched a ton of their very first game of the year at home against Rider. They should have lost. Like Rider had them dead to rights, and they somehow escape, and then they just can't lose at home now. But keep in mind, they should have lost at home to Rider.
Well, their backs are against the wall now. They got to have this game, and Creighton, it's kind of the law of averages. You've won 8 in a row, you're going into a tough environment. I mean, it's like human nature in
Yeah,
college
but at
basketball.
the same time, it should be the law of averages on Marquette winning close games too. It's like, are you just going to win every single tight game you're in for the rest of eternity? I mean, I don't know. It's I can't imagine, but the thing that's encouraging to me, Tim, is we're coming off of a poor shooting night. And so
Yeah.
I think, you know, if we are shooting the ball the way we're capable of shooting, we're going to be in the game.
Yeah. And the other thing too is we're coming off a game where we're going to play the same kind of style. A little bit different offense set, of course,
Right.
but same kind of rock fight, you know, every possession just difficult to score. So that's it's not like, you know, back in the let it fly days, we get into a game with problems and be like, oh God, we haven't seen this before, you know. And it kind of jolted us. But yeah, you know, Marquette, people are on my bracket today. I had them a 3 seed and a lower 3 seed. And people are just like, oh, you got Marquette way too high. Like, how? They're 20-6. They've got
People are saying that
18-1 and two wins.
Marquette's too high.
Yes. They've got
How?
three
What?
wins. They got three
Yeah.
wins in the top 15 in the country.
Why
I
would they
mean,
not be that
their
high? Yeah.
computer numbers are really good. I just, yeah, I don't understand people other than, yeah.
Yeah, they've lost five times all year. One is to Purdue, others to a decent, an okay Mississippi State team. Okay, maybe, you know, this year a below average, okay, an average
Three
Wisconsin
tough road
team.
games, Connecticut
Yeah,
and
Wisconsin
Providence.
in overtime, Providence at Providence in double overtime, at Xavier by four, and okay, UConn kind of smoked them. But yeah, what are we talking about here? How are they not? They smoked Baylor, who Baylor looks really good again now in conference play. They've
Yeah.
beaten us. They've beaten Seton Hall. They've beaten UConn. I mean,
Yeah,
I'm with you.
I just think they're terrific. I mean, I know we're going into the Lion's Den tomorrow, but I mean, to me, I'm more worried like Marquette even at our place. I mean, they're that good. They're, man, Kolick gets going and Jones get going, and they are. And then you got Prosper. Oh my word,
No, I agree.
they
I'm
are a
with you.
tough team to handle.
Trust me, I'm with you.
All right, we want to mention the big Bourbon and Blue Jays event a week from Wednesday. It's coming up fast, February 22nd. We're a part of it. We're going to be doing a podcast there. Not anything live, but we're going to do a podcast there for all the people that are showing up in attendance, and then we'll put that immediately up onto YouTube later that day. You can buy tickets right at the door. It's going to be at the Copacabana over on Wright Street, which is right off 180th and Center over there, and huge event. It supports West Omaha Chamber of Commerce and all the great things they do. Trevor is going to try and be with us tomorrow night after the Providence game to kind of a little promo of the event and kind of give his breakdown of the Jays game. Huge Jays fan. So we'll make sure and put that on your calendar and make sure if you are a bourbon drinker, this is going to be late. We've got several vendors there with their fine different bourbon products. It's going to be outstanding. So come on, you're going to meet some Creighton coaches there as well. So I head out to Copacabana over on Wright Street, over in the 180th and Center area. And it's going to be a great time next Wednesday. It kicks off at 4. 4 to 6 is the official event times, but I think it'll go a little later than that. So head on over there and check it all out. We got North Carolina by 3 and over Miami. Huge game for North Carolina.
Yeah,
I mean, they pounded
they need to
Clemson,
start winning
but
some games.
yeah. And big game for Miami. Miami can really boost their resume and threaten that four line. So, okay. So tomorrow night, right after the game, are you with us tomorrow night? I don't remember, Ross.
Yeah, I should be able to hop on
Okay.
tomorrow night. Yeah.
Right after the game tomorrow, like at 8 o'clock-ish, we will be jumping on Instant Reaction. It's our post-game show. We've had a great turnout of fans joining us each show, and we'd love for you to do that. So make sure and come right back here to the YouTube channel tomorrow night, right after the current game. And I'm really pumped for the game.
Yeah, it's a big one, and you know, gosh, it's gonna be rocking in there. I remember when I called right before COVID, I called the game with John there that
I
year, and
remember
it
that.
was unbelievable atmosphere. It's very similar to like the old Civic Auditorium. It's just one of those types of atmospheres. It's awesome. It's a great fun place to play a college basketball game.
All right. Thank you, Zach. Thanks, Ross. We will see you tomorrow night about 8:05, right after the Jays Providence games ends for Instant Reaction. See you then.
See ya.